the last Shabbos of the year, and it's brought down that you could fix up and you could be mashlim and complete the Shabbosim that perhaps weren't as shalom, weren't as perfect as they could be in the past year, by making sure to be extra careful this Shabbos, and both in terms of the los assays and also the assay, should be an amazing, exciting, and uplifting Shabbos, and also Shabbos when a person is very, very careful about the halachas of Shabbos as well. In this week's parasha, we have towards the end of first Aliyah, the pasuk Hanis Taros LaHashem Elokeinu, the hidden things of Hashem, which means that the psukim prior to this pasuk were describing the punishments that are going to be given to those that don't obey the mitzvos, and then it says Hanis Taros LaHashem Elokeinu. However, Haniglos Lanul Vanenu Ad Olam Asos is called Divrei Torah Azos. And says Rashi, what's it referring to? The din of Arvus, being a co-signer, being one, that we are going to be held accountable for the iniquities and for the mistakes and for the averos that other people in Klai Yisrael do. And this is the source of Arvus, that if somebody was not Mekayim the mitzvah of shofar, I could blow the shofar for him. I could even make the bracha for him if he doesn't know how to make the bracha. And what we're saying is that, and Rashi describes in a more negative sense, if you don't know that somebody did an avera, you're not going to be held responsible. However, but the niglos, the revealed averos, the revealed transactions, are our responsibility to eradicate. And this is the source of arvus. And the Chofetz Chaim tells us that when somebody's a co-signer, what does that mean? Somebody takes a loan, a sizable loan, and he won't be able to get a loan unless somebody co-signs on it, right? So what does that mean? If the original borrower defaults, they're going to come to the co-signer. That co-signer has a lot riding on that loan. And therefore, let's say, for example, he finds out that the borrower that he co-signed for is about to get involved in a shady business, in a very dangerous and risky business. So what would he do? Don't do it. Of course he would tell the guy not to do it. So to over here, we are one with the rest of Klai Yisrael. When we see Klai Yisrael messing up, it's going to affect us. Just like a co-signer on a loan doesn't want the borrower, the lender, to make any mistakes because he's going to suffer, so too we should have the same feeling. When we see another Jew making a mistake and transgressing, we should know that it affects us, it bothers us, it's going to hurt us. And if it's nigla, if it's revealed to us, we have to do something about it. Now, obviously, this doesn't mean we have to, right, of course, it says, right, and losis olav chet, but over there it says, of course, you can't give musr in the wrong way. There's no question about it. At first, it should bother you. It should say, you know what, it bothers me, it's going to affect me, it's a lack of kovod shemayim. However, a person should not stand idly by. But how he reacts needs chachma, needs to be discussed with the proper authorities. Of course, throwing rocks at people on Shabbos is not the right mahalach at all. Of course, it should affect us, it should hurt us, it should bother us that Jewish people aren't keeping the Shabbos. But how we act has to be done with chachma, and not necessarily with, certainly not with harm, and certainly not with intensity, and not with negativity. The truth is, I was reminded this past week, I was in a shir, we were discussing that many years ago, when there was when the Haredim, you know, they had like around to have a million man march to protest something. What was the entire Hafgana? The entire Hafgana was Tehillim. There's no excitement, just Tehillim. And I was reminded also there was once something happened in Bnei Brak, and Ryan Lev Zatzal said we had to have a mechal. What did he do? He called all the brachim to the shul. He said three brachim of Tehillim, and they left. That's also a mechal. The fact that it bothers us, that there's something going on, there's something wrong with Klai Yisrael, and we have to try, of course, in as menschlich and as appropriate way as we can try to influence others, but understand that things that are nigla, we are going to be responsible for them. And then in Avinu Malkeinu, interestingly enough, we see Avinu Malkeinu b'chei v'harer p'sheinu v'chatosinu negede necha, Kadosh Baruch Hu, please remove all iniquities. And next Avinu Malkeinu, it says, m'chol p'racha mecha harabim kol shikr k'avoseinu. Please, O Kodesh Baruch Hu, remove with your mercy all the obligations against us. So the Mephoshim explained, what's the two iniquities? You told me we're asking Hashem to remove our averos, and then again you're asking Hashem to remove the averos. So they say that no, that one of them is talking about our own averos, and the other Avinu Malkeinu is talking about the averos that we could have protested, we could have perhaps taught somebody, we could have perhaps encouraged somebody to do better, and we didn't, and we will be held responsible. It's interesting to note that the Orchot Tzadikim in Shar HaKas writes, "Afal pi shehakas midah ra'a ma'od," even though kas is terrible. Sometimes it's appropriate with proper measure to get angry. One of those examples is if you see wicked people doing terrible things, you should get angry about it. Now, some people could say, "Oh, why getting angry?" Well, I've heard the following muscle before, right? If somebody would bodily harm your closest friend or a relative or a parent, right? You wouldn't stand idly by. So here, if somebody goes ahead and transgresses the mitzvos and does an avera, he transgresses the mitzvos of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu is Avinu Malkeinu, he's Avinu Avrahman. We should also be as enraged when there's a Chilul Hashem as well. And of course, that's part of the theme of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Kavod Shemayim, caring about it. But again, I want to preface my remarks by saying it doesn't mean you have to be intense about it. It doesn't mean you have to be yell at people. You should be upset about it. And how to react and how to gently give over the message of Musar has to be done with wisdom, with the imus, with pleasantness, and also with the idea of Vahavta Recha Kamocha. And also, mind you, that we do learn, I think it's Gemara, right? You shouldn't say something, I think it's Mishnah, right? Don't say something that Yevshal Lishma. If the person's not going to hear it, right? The guy does this severe, again, you can build something up. But if it's going to fall on deaf ears, it's not worth it. But it doesn't absolve you trying to figure out, maybe you start this way, start that way. And if you see nigla, if you see it's revealed to you that somebody's doing something wrong, we are going to be held accountable for that. That's point number one. This morning I saw this piece of the Chofetz Chaim, who of course is Yartzeit, was this past week. It also quoted the Ksav Sofer. Now if you'll notice that there are dots on top of the words lanu ulvanenu. And if I'm not mistaken, I just quickly saw it and I can't find the Ksav Sofer here. Why is there, when there are dots on a word, it means that it's stressing something. So this, if I understood correctly, Levonenu was saying that we were going to be held most accountable for the actions of our children. That's why it says Levonenu. But the question is, why were there dots also on the word Lanu, us as well? If the focus is that we're going to be most held accountable the most for our children's actions, and that's why you have the dots on top of the Levonenu. Why are there dots on the Lanu as well? So the Ksav Sofer says, because most likely, oftentimes, the reason why the children act in a certain way is because their parents act in a certain way. If a father is Machshav Torah, a father learns Torah, a father doesn't talk during davening, most likely his kids won't talk during davening, and his kids will be Machshav Torah. That's a huge, huge yisod in life. And there are many, many sources for that. So the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Certainly rooted in many different parts of the Torah. I don't want to be Myrick right now. But that's the idea of Lonu Levonenu. And I saw a story. He writes a story that in Lakewood, he doesn't say the person's name. The person was asked to join a Shiva house, a minion in a Shiva house. And he walked in and he saw tons of Svarim. Not Svarim Stam, not just tons of Svarim, they were all worn out. Mamash learned. And he opened them up and he saw notes and notes and notes. And he looked around the room and he saw the Avelim and he said, and he couldn't figure it out. The Avelim didn't look like they were so serious about their Torah learning, but yet it looked like whoever lived in this house was a very serious Talmud Chacham. So he asked, who are you sitting Shiva for? This doesn't look like it's your father's house. He said, no, it is our father's house. I'm sorry to ask a loaded question, an uncomfortable question. What happened? And he said, you know, we knew our father was a Talmud Chacham, a Baal Chesed. We knew about it, but we never saw it. We never saw him. He learned in private. He did it. Again, last week he said it was a milah to do things privately. But again, not restricted, not only doing tournaments in private. But we never saw him do it. He didn't show us. We didn't see it. And the Mimela, since they never saw it, even though they knew he was a great tzaddik and he was a very big Talmud Chacham, they didn't see it. You see the yisod about the upbringing of children, that they have to see the way you act. The way you act very often is the way they will act as well. And the sheet that I saw this morning also quoted the story of the Ridvaz. The famous story about the Ridvaz. The Ridvaz was a great Rav in Tzfas, and they came into shul, and he was crying, and he was usually very happy, and it was the yahrzeit of his father. And they asked him, why are you crying? He said, my whole life, I dedicate, is because of my parents. And this is a famous story of where his family his father did not have money to pay the Malamed, the teacher who was teaching him Torah. And his father his job was, he was involved in furnaces and heating. And he heard that one of the wealthy people in town, his daughter got married and they needed a furnace. So he took apart his own furnace in order to pay his son's melamed, and they were freezing. But he told his kid, don't worry, we have the warmth of your Torah. So the mysterious nefesh of the father, that he's willing to live in the cold, just so that his son can learn Torah, is what made the Ridvaz. So you see the contrast between what a person can do for his children, the way he acts. Now, I was thinking to myself, I'm talking to 19-year-old Bachrim, you know, how they act is going to influence their kids. Is that really relevant? And I'd venture to say that they say, you know, when's the time to start, preparing to raise your children? And the answer is right now. Whenever you reach the age of, intellectual acuity and responsibility, bar mitzvah age, whatever it is. Whatever you're doing now is not simply for yourself. It's for dore doros. It's for your children, your grandchildren, grandchildren. These are your golden years in yeshiva. The more you build yourself up as a Jew, Bein Adam Lamakom, Bein Adam L'Chavero, will have a direct influence on your children. It's not the pshat, oh yeah, in Yitzhak Shem, in a few years, but as Hashem, you're all blessed to have children, then you can start worrying about it, working on yourself, and how to be a great role model for your children. No, it starts now. And I would actually think to say that perhaps that's something that should give everybody chizuk. The idea that, you know what, I'm 19, let me have fun. Baruch Hashem, obviously the guys that are here, Friday morning Seder, are obviously very, 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 very stark and tremendous over the Hashem and Bnei Eliyah. There's no question about it. But a person can think to himself, what's the big deal? Let me just have a good time. Let me chill. But if you ask a person, I'd hope to think that if you ask the person, what do you want your children to see? What do you want your children to be like? Do you want them to be serious on Aleph kids? Do you want them to be serious on do you want them to be serious about Hashem? Do you want them to be serious about Hashem? And I would hope to think that most people say yes. We see what's out there in the world. We'd like our kids to be B'nai Torah. Well, if you had that drive, you have that desire to see your kids as B'nai Torah, and you know much more than I do what's going on in the world, if you want them to be attached to Hashem and attached to Torah, now's the time to start. Because the greater you are, most likely, statistically speaking, I'll be derech hateva, of course, there's no guarantees. There's no guarantees in life. Of course, the Brisker Rav, he said, right, they asked him, how do you have such great children? The Brisker Rav, he said, tefillah, it's all about tefillah. There's no guarantees, but it's certainly the way to start. So here I saw a void this morning about the fact that the greater the person is lanu, and then first it's lanu, then it's levonenu. If we ourselves are acting appropriately or have the proper values in avodas Hashem, then it'll have a hashpa on our children. Just to tell you the other Marim Okom by Shimshon, the Malach Hashem came to Shimshon's mother, and Torah Pashas also. And said that you're going to have a nausea, and you can't drink wine, can't come to the mace, and all of a sudden, that's Eishes Manoach. Manoach said, Malach Hashem has to come back to me. So he davened to Hashem, and Malach Hashem should come back to him. Manoach asked the Malach Hashem, no, what should I do? And the Malach Hashem told the Shimshon the same thing, Manoach, the same thing that he told Eishes Manoach, the wife. You can't drink wine, you can't come to contact with the mace, and before Hashem asked, look in the Meshech Chochma, inside of Rav Schwab, what was the conversation over here? Why in the world did Manoach, the husband, need to hear it again from Malach Hashem? And the answer is, he couldn't understand how you can raise a child if he has a different set of rules than the father. And the Malach said, you know what, you're right. And actually, the Lashon is, Al Teish Diayin, you shouldn't drink either. You're right, because Manoach was right. How in the world can I raise a child with a different set of halachas for a nazir if I myself am not observing the halachas of naziris? And therefore, this is a yisod in chinuch. If a person wants his children to be a certain way, he himself has to act a certain way. There's no greater example, and I think, again, maybe it's a mechayev on me also. A Rebbe has a responsibility also. If your Rebbe doesn't act properly, then you get mixed messages. So, and certainly a parent, most of chinuch is role modeling. That's the truth of the matter is just backtracking. Nowadays, when you go to a shir and chinuch, I don't want to say 99% of it, 95% of it is role modeling. If they see that the parents aren't honest in their dealings, if they see the parents have bad midos, et cetera, so they see it's okay. So certainly it has to be lanu levanenu, we should work on ourselves. This is certainly the message of Parshas Nitzavim. Going to Rosh Hashanah again, try to take advantage of these days. These days are tremendous, have tremendous influence on our Rosh Hashanah, which of course has a tremendous influence on the year, and obviously has a tremendous influence on our lives. Have a great Shabbos.